Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, The Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text 15. Duridra Niraham Stambhau Mukta Sarva Madara Iha Krishtram Yadrichchaya Noti Yadi tasya param tapa. Yes. Daridra, a poverty-stricken person. Near aham stamba. Is automatically freed from all false prestige. Mukta. Liberated. Sarva, all. Madai, from false ego. Iha, in this world. Krishtram, with great difficulty. Yadrichaya apnoti, what he gains by chance from providence. Tat, that he indeed. Tasya, his, param, perfect, tapaha, our light went out. Oh. All good things have to come to an end. A poverty-stricken man must automatically undergo austerities because and penances. We read the rest of that? Yeah. Because he does not have the wealth to possess. That was psychedelic. It's all right. We don't want to strain it beyond its capacity. Thus his false prestige is vanquished. Always in need of food, shelter, and clothing. He must be satisfied with what is obtained by the mercy of providence. Undergoing such compulsory austerities is good for him because this purifies him and completely frees him from false ego. Purport. A saintly person voluntarily accepts the state of poverty just to become free from material false prestige. Many great kings left their princely standard of living and went to the forest to practice austerity, going to Veda culture, just to become purified. But if one who cannot voluntarily accept such austerity is put into a situation of poverty, he automatically must practice austerity. Austerity is good for everyone because it frees one from material conditions. Therefore, if one is very proud of his material position, putting him into poverty is the best way to rectify his foolishness. Ridriya dosha guna nashi rasi nashi. When a person is poverty stricken, naturally his false pride in aristocracy, wealth, education, beauty is smashed. Thus corrected, he is in the right position for liberation. Translation: a poverty stricken man must automatically undergo austerities and penances, because he does not have the wealth to possess anything. Thus, his false prestige is vanquished. Always in need of food, shelter, and clothing, he must be satisfied with what is obtained by the mercy of providence. Undergoing such compulsory austerities is good for him, because this purifies him, completely frees him from false ego. One of the symptoms of Krishna consciousness or self-realization is equanimity. And therefore, here Krishna is giving us the example of how to understand things with equanimity, with equi-mindedness. That comes after, because everything in Bhagavad Gita is a sequence. If we study Bhagavad Gita, the sequences in all the chapters, then we can understand how one thing develops after another. So, therefore, it's always, where do you start from? But here we can start from Tad buddhyas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayanaha kachanyapana avritim gyanani dukta kalmashaha. Owen's faith, if you would, does it start with tad buddhyas, when one's intelligence, tad atmanas, one's mind, tad nishta, one's faith, tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishta, tad parayana, one's refuge, parayana, kachanya pada abridim, are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. So one of our problems is that we're distracted from utilizing everything for Krishna. And why are we distracted? Because we're in anxiety about different things. Either we're in anxiety because our senses are pushing us, either for shelter or for enjoyment, or we're worried, and that extends not only to our own personal body, but especially our own personal body and minds, what they come up with, what they push us towards. And also to externally, our family, the society, all these different things. Therefore, to become fixed in utilizing everything, Krishna next says, the more we become fixed, we could say, the more we use our intelligence, our faith, our mind, our refuge, the very self, all fixing them in the Supreme, then what do we see? Vidya Vanaya Sampane Brahmanigavya Hastini Shuni Jaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshana. We can see that all living entities are actually spiritual beings, just like we are. Whether it be the dog or the learned and gentle Brahman, the learned sages by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. In other words, there's no real problem going on in the material world except that people have come to the material world and want to stay here. That's the big problem. Otherwise, there's no problem with the soul because he's beyond the material energy and therefore nothing really affects the soul. Nothing material affects the soul in the sense that the soul is not slain when the body is slain. Although the soul, the Atma, is certainly put into difficulty in difficult situations where he's not enjoying, he's suffering. So that's unfortunate. But he doesn't die when the body is slain. He just suffers perpetually. And why does he suffer? Because he doesn't understand that he's eternal. That's the main suffering. Because if we understood we're eternal, we wouldn't suffer. And even if there was some suffering externally, it wouldn't bother us. Because then we know it comes and goes like seasonal changes. But because we identify with the body and its suffering, therefore we become fearful that if something happens to my body, I might disappear forever and ever, etc. So many different anxieties. So, ihaivatera jita sarge yesham samye samam munak sadosham hi samam brahma tad brahmanis titaha. Those whose minds are situated in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman and thus are already situated in Brahman. In other words, when we come to the stage of equanimity and we don't identify ourselves with our problematic situations, or identify others with their problematic situations. It's not that we have no compassion for them. Atmo pamyena sarvatra samam pashyati arjuna sukham vadukam siyogi paramo madaha. That he is a true yogi or Arjuna who sees with an equal the true equality of all living entities, both in their happiness and distress. So the learned person who's tolerant that he sees that people are suffering just because they're not tolerant, and he feels sorry that they're wasting their time. They could be happy and add to the eternal benefit of everyone, the eternal happiness that's created in spiritual consciousness and spiritual interactions. They could add to it whatever little bit we can add, but anyhow, they could be positive and helpful. They can do something productive. But instead of that, they're wasting their time suffering because of ignorance. Therefore, what is the solution? Naparishat priyam prapya nodvidat prapriyam stira buddhira samudho brahmavid brahmanisaha. They realize naparishat, one shouldn't become joyful upon attaining something auspicious in the material world. Overly joyful. We shouldn't lament, I got something auspicious. But we shouldn't get too elated. This is only temporary. Naparishat priyam prapya nodvidat. And if we lose something, we shouldn't lament too much. Because we're going to lose everything anyhow. We either lose it today, we lose it in 20 years, we're going to lose everything. But to speak of whatever we think we lost today, we're going to lose even our dear body that we're so attached to. Naparishat priyam prapya, no dvijat, chapyip chapriyam, stira buddhir. So one who's actually fixed, stira buddhir, see things properly, a samudo, and who's not bewildered by illusion, brahmavid, brahmanisthita, then he's fixed in Brahman. So when we see all these horrible things happening in Kali Yuga, we naturally become fearful, or we become lament, or whatever else. But actually we should understand this is just normal. This is the way the material nature works. And it's for everyone's benefit. Everyone and anyone who gets proud, and it's not that only the people we see around us and we think, oh, they're suffering, and we think maybe it's because they're proud. We might have an element of proud too, pride also. Unconsciously or consciously, we think we're something special. We think we're something better. And when we see people are suffering, we think we're even better than they are, because I'm not suffering. Maybe I should give them a donation. And then they take the donation and they utilize it for something sinful and they suffer more. And we become involved, implicated in their suffering, and we suffer. In the future, we'll have to suffer too. And we're suffering just by misidentifying their suffering, not understanding it's Krishna's arrangement, that they're suffering so they can become, here at least it says, free from pride. When Krishna elaborates the demoniac qualities to Arjuna, the first one he says is dumba, which is here is stumba, which is pride. Dumba bhimas krodhas cha, porushum eva cha, abhijatasya partha sampadam asari. Dumba darpa. So dumba means pride, darpa means good to memorize these things. Arrogance. From pride comes arrogance. So if we're ever suffering, we might think, is there any possibility I might be proud of this? And what am I proud of? My body. Because what else do we have to be proud of? We can't be proud that we're 1/10,000th the size of Tipu Arun's size, trapped by ignorance and suffering in the material world. It's pretty hard to become proud. We have to get proud, pride by identifying something in the material world. And that's our bodily situation. All my talents that I think I have, all my independent talents I think I have, all the country I come from, my family, my wealth. Something we'll find ourselves to be proud of. I'm not doing as bad as they are, therefore I'm better than they are. Therefore, since knowledge begins with adam, amadivam, adambivam, with humility, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, I can't chant Hare Krishna. Why? I'm trying, I'm chanting my rounds, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. There's so many names I could chant, but I have no taste. The only happiness I get during the day is when I get my rounds done. That's where I feel the best. So what's the problem? Trinada Pisani Chaina. It's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, I don't really know, but no, it's the same thing over and over again. Humility. Humility means to identify ourselves with Krishna rather than as a humble servant of Krishna, at least theoretically, as hopefully as the Shikshastra goes on, when we give up this false prestige, then you know we want to become an atom of Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore, Trinada, humbler than a blade of grass in the street. Now, when we see a blade of grass in the street, we just step on it. We couldn't get it, and we don't. So it's quite a theory to become humbler. Let's try to become like as humble as a blade of grass. At least trying to develop some humility and not misidentify ourselves with this gross and subtle body. And the only way of doing that is by utilizing it in Krishna service. And we can only utilize in Krishna service when we understand what Krishna wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. But at least we should know that that's our goal. And that if I'm in trouble, I know it must be either Dumba, it must be beginning with Dumba, or here Stumba, false prestige, false ego. Dharpa, and then comes arrogance. Then I commit offenses against others. Mentally, because if no one sees the offense, we think it doesn't really matter. Only Krishna saw it, but he doesn't say anything, so I'm doing all right. He won't complain. No, he'll arrange it in such a way that we'll get into a quarrel with someone else, right? We'll offend someone else grossly or subtly. So if we don't mind experiencing loving relation with others, we can go on offending them subtly at least. If our aim is not to have loving relationships, we don't really care about love. We just want our false prestige to be manifested in the terms of arrogance. And we take pleasure in feeling myself superior to others. If no one else, then I get a dog and he bows down and licks me. Somehow or another, I got to feel superior to others. Dambo Dharpa Bhimanas Cha. Bhimanas is conceit. So what's the difference between pride and conceit? It seems like conceit is even heavier than pride. I'm proud, but I have a good reason to be proud. And then after that comes krodha. From lust comes anger. Because I'm proud, I'm arrogant, I'm conceited, but no one's certain. People sometimes criticize me. You go out in book distribution, and someone walks. You think I'm the savior out here. I'm the truth, the way, and the light. No one goes to Krishna except through me out here. And then someone walks by and says, "Get a job, you rascal!" And immediately I become angry. I curse you. May you never become Krishna conscious. We're supposed to come out, distribute these books out of compassion, realizing that we're all crazy, especially the people who are out on the street. And yet, due to our arrogance and conceit and pride, instead of tolerating, we become angry. Why aren't you glorifying me as your savior? Why aren't you surrendering? Bow down, mister. Got out of my way, out of my trouble to come out here and to save you, and you're so arrogant, so prideful, so conceited, you're rejecting your savior, me. May you be put on the cross. Krodha Purusham, and harshness. Purusham should be harsh. And then one feels very harsh towards everyone. Because you come back, no one wants to take a book from a person who's puffed up and conceited, who has no good wishes for anyone, and then you become harsh with everyone you're dealing with. I've come out here to save people and they want to be saved. I've just wasted my time. May you all go to hell, except for me. Purusham, Ekacha, Agana, it's all due to ignorance. So therefore, this is how we learn, because then we suffer. No one loves me, no one appreciates me, because I don't appreciate and love others either. Nor can I tolerate anyone who doesn't love me. There's no tolerance. And therefore, when we're preaching, then there's a great opportunity to learn how to become not only humble, tolerant, but not expect some kind of glorification for acting as an instrument for Krishna. Instead, one should try to appreciate anyone, if they're serving Krishna, try to appreciate their acting under the internal energy of Krishna and serving them. And therefore, one can make spiritual advancement. And that spiritual advancement means that one will become detached from all these different material allurements. Prabhupada mentions in the purport, education, beauty, wealth. Same thing as Queen Kunti mentions. It's not that there's some new thing that we become overly attached to. It's the same old things. Janmaishwarya Shuta Shibir Edamanak Madakpuman Naivahati Vidatuvai Twama Kinshana Gochara. These are the things that we become attached to that spell which means we're simply feeding our false ego. If they're not utilizing Krishna's service, of course. Janma, high birth, Aishwarya, wealth, Shruta, material learning, Stribi, material beauty and influence. These are the things that everyone's hankering for to increase. But what they're increasing is their false ego. And by increasing their false ego, they can't chant Hare Krishna with feeling. Hare Krishna mantra becomes very distasteful. Just like when Bakasura, he swallowed Krishna, who's as sweet as sugar candy. But because Bakasura was a demon, covered by ignorance and passion, therefore he tasted Krishna as being bitter and he tasted Krishna as bitter. And therefore he spit Krishna up. He had the sweetest person in his mouth, because it wouldn't be recommended that he swallow Krishna. But in any case, Krishna is so sweet. Similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna, if we taste bitterness when we're chanting, we're not attracted. It's because we're covered by ignorance. And where does our mind wander to? It wanders to it's usually some kind of opulence for sense gratification. Or fearfulness that our opulence for sense gratification will be taken away. But those are the two things that one is worried about in the material world. So, here we find Manigriva Nalakuvara. They were put into a position of poverty from great opulence as a demigod. But that was good for them. Similarly, because then their false prestige was taken away, and therefore they could actually understand things more clearly, that they're actually who they actually are, their eternal position, their eternal relation with Krishna. Bhayam dvitiyana bhidesha tasya dishada pitasya vipariyo smiti. As soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then we become fearful, because instead of serving Krishna and cooperating with him and with his representatives, we become their competitors. The whole minor civilization, as Prabhupada said, which is meant to keep people in darkness, will soon come to an end, because it's self-destructing. People will fight and kill each other just out of to protect their false prestige, their conceit. They'll simply go down and become destructive. That's how the material nature works. But we shouldn't lament about that, because that's one way of learning too. Just like we have to learn also by having our false prestige sometimes taken away, either grossly or subtly, either in an obvious way or in a more inconspicuous way, but somehow or another, we're all going through that. Doing something well, taking pride in it, becoming conceited about it, behaving harshly with others who don't come up to our standard, and then getting smashed by the material nature and becoming humble, feeling some humility that actually I'm not as wonderful as I am. That starts from the very beginning of Krishna consciousness in something called Utsahamayi. When one comes to Krishna consciousness, sometimes Krishna gives a little bit of enthusiasm and one thinks one is amazing devotee, so talented, so wonderful. Krishna's gift to the Hare Krishna movement. Krishna couldn't have given a better Christmas gift than me. That's called Utsahamayi, puffed up with enthusiasm. And then the next stage is Ganatarala, alternating thick and thin. And then suddenly we're dropped to the bottom and we realize we're the lowest of the low. We become completely, you know, humble and lamenting, I was so puffed up. And then due to the humility, we pray to Krishna to help me and he helps us. We rise again and we think, well, I'm another gift to the Hare Krishna movement. Now I'm purified. Now I know everything. Now I'm infallible. And again, we're down on the bottom. So sometimes we're overly enthusiastic and sometimes we're depressed. And it goes on. We have to analyze, due to my lack of renunciation of the things I'm attached to, I'm being directed, especially my false prestige, and the things that it leads to, based on wealth, beauty, high education, etc., whatever we think we should be proud of, then we get bewildered by the illusory energy. So we have to give that up, and then anyhow, it goes on and on, even to the point which is still in Bhajana Kriya, Ganatarala. No. Ganatarala, Vishaya Sangara, Niyama Kalpa, Vikalpa Viyuda Sankalpa, Niyamakshama, and Rangini, Taranga Rangini. We become a little steady. We chant Hare Krishna, we chant our rounds every day, we come to the programs, we're getting a little happy, and then we think that, yeah, I deserve everything Krishna is giving me, I should enjoy it. We get little small waves of progress in devotional service, then we want to enjoy life. And we still can't chant Hare Krishna without offense, because we're still attached to material life, the easy material life that's been provided to us by the mercy of the holy name. So Krishna arranges it. We're living in Kali Yuga, that no one's going to be comfortable. That's the way it works. So we have to surrender to Krishna. So at the time of leaving this body, we can feel ourselves completely dependent upon Krishna. So unless we practice it and not take shelter of all these other things, thinking they're protecting me, they're going to be with me forever, they love me, whatever. So Krishna will help us. And when we see others suffering and being devoid of opulence, we shouldn't lament for them. We should understand this is Krishna's arrangement so that they'll make progress towards the spiritual life also. It may take them a longer time, because they won't accept things so easily. But for ourselves who understand that we shouldn't lament our present circumstances, instead we should understand it's the arrangement of Krishna to make us humble so we can actually make progress towards tolerance and appreciation of others in terms of devotional service, so we can give up our attachments to followers and wealth and position and even liberation, and actually sincerely take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And from there, devotional service, actually real devotional service, begins at that point. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you for the class. I would like to ask, when you mentioned that we commit offenses mentally, so if we criticize someone in our mind or we commit some offense and then we try to rectify it, we know it's wrong, is that also like considered an offense? Or?
Yeah, of course it's an offense. Therefore, Krishneti Yasagiri Tamana Sadriyeta, that one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name. As far as ordinary people, it's not that we have no discrimination. We think everything's wonderful that they do. But we understand, Mopamyena Sarvatarasamam Parshati. We understand they're in ignorance. Therefore, the modes of material nature are working, and they're suffering. So as Jesus Christ said, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. So we just have to see things in the proper way. As far as I thought something bad, now I'm a rascal, I'm going to sit in my room the whole day and just lament how I thought something. Our whole material existence is wrong. We have so many wrong concepts. We have to go on with our service. And that way we'll make progress, and these things will be forgotten about. And there'll be other things that even more subtle that's brought up, and we have to become detached from, and by engaging even more sincerely in Krishna service.
Okay.
Anything else? Hvala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.